Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Vunaktu Sahabiyam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, text 19. By employing the logic that is born from matter, one cannot go above matter. Materialistic logic speaks only nonsense. Right? Because the thing is if it doesn't come to a conclusion connected with the Lord, it's nonsense. Right? So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur has pointed out that these other systems of logic and philosophy is that they don't actually come out proper because they don't connect to the Lord. Right? That's what it means. It may be very nicely presented. You could say it's logical in its own right, but because it's materialistic, materialistic means it's not connected to the Lord. If it's connected to the Lord, it's not materialistic. Does that make sense? So materialistic logic actually can't go above matter because it doesn't have the connection to the Lord. Right? And it only speaks about nonsense because the material world is nonsense. Yeah. Right, so it means when you're talking truth, you can't say the material world is truth. Right, it's real, but you can't say it's truth. Does that make sense? Because the reason it's there, just like the prison, is real, but you can't say that that's truth. Right, it means out in the world, that's the normal life. Right, the prison life is a false life; it's not a real life, but it exists. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Mixed logic is born from matter. Looking through the door of the senses, the soul imprisoned in matter catches a glimpse of material images. A glimpse carried by the nerves to the brain. There the images are preserved by the power of memory. Right? Because the memory remembers so many things, even from previous lifetimes and that. Prabhupada was pointing out that sometimes you think of things that we've never thought of before, and you think, where did that come from? It just came from another life, that's all. Right? We've had the same mind, you know, since we've come into the material world. So many things it'll remember. Right? It won't remember the complete life and all the different details and, you know, how old you were when you first dropped your teddy bear and, you know, and all those different things. You won't remember necessarily that. But little glimpses of desires and needs that are very strong, those come up. Right, because those are things that carry one from lifetime to lifetime. And the detail, then one will forget. Right? Does that make sense? Like you may forget what you eat for lunch yesterday, but you don't forget to eat lunch. Right? Because eating lunch is important. Detail is another thing. Right? It is then that material logic does its work, right, after being preserved in the memory. In this way, many ideas and imaginations are created, right? Because the mind is accessing the memory. That's where the speculation takes place, right? Because we say mental speculation, but we say, no, I'm using intelligence and being logic. But it's the mind that's doing it. The mind is accessing. It says, there the images are preserved by the power of memory. Right? So the mind, it's the one that's accessing the memory. So then the mind is then playing with thought. That's the mental speculation. So just because one does it very intelligently doesn't mean it's not mental speculation. Even if you're not doing it intelligently, it's still mental speculation. Because the mind is speculating on what possibly you could get out of the particular situation. What's the material benefit I can get? That's the speculation, right? But if it's connected to the Lord, then it's not called mental speculation. In this way, many ideas and imaginations are created. Sorting through these material images, materialistic lodges arranges them in pretty patterns. Right, because there's so many things, you think about it, then you start to put them into a nice way until it looks good. Then you say, yes, here it is. And then when you go to apply it, it doesn't always work. But we're very attached to it. So we keep trying and trying and trying. Right? And if it's not working, it can't be we just arranged them into a pretty pattern and it has no meaning. It has to be everybody else in the universe is wrong. Right? So, now when it's arranged into pretty patterns, this is called science and philosophy. Right? Science and philosophy is pretty patterns of materialistic logic.
Yeah, this is very good.
Okay. Looking this way and that at the sensory images, logic comes to certain conclusions. This is called reason. Right? I was going to say, it's because it's just the way it goes here. This is called reason, Kant says. Right? This is called reason. Right? So Kant says, carefully preserve and organize what you have seen. Right? But examine that information to find the truth. By examining the images seen by the material senses, logic may understand something of the material world. Why should that logic not be called material logic? Right. So he's saying, why shouldn't it be called logic? Okay. Oh, here, yeah. So, no, that's Kant. Examine the information and find the truth. Okay. By examining the images seen by material senses, logic may understand something in the material world. Why should that logic not be called material logic? Because it's logic of the material information. Right? Because you're taking the information coming in and arranging it around, trying to get different patterns and different things out of it, because you're taking what you've just pulled in with what you've already have in the memory. So with that, you can make so many different things. More things in the memory, you know, the more things you observe, the more things you can play with and arrange. But that whole thing, that's called material logic. Yes?
Yeah, Maharaj, what about these Eastern non-Vedic philosophies like Taoism and so on? Are they in the same category of material philosophy and logic? Or do they have any like a connection to Brahman platform?
No, but Brahman without connecting to the personality of Godhead is still material knowledge. Right? It means that your so-called spiritualists, it means they're dealing with the spiritual platform, but it doesn't mean that they are material spiritualists. Does that make sense? Just like the smarta. He is worshiping the deity of Vishnu, but it doesn't mean he has the mentality of a devotee. Does that make sense? You know, or people go into the kitchen and they take varieties of, so you know, that are supposed to be edibles, and they do things with them, but it doesn't mean that they know what they're doing and come up with something edible. Does that make sense? So the point is just because they're dealing with spiritual concepts doesn't mean that they're actually spiritual people in their consciousness, because the purpose of it is for their own enjoyment. And if it's for their own enjoyment, it's still connected to the material world. Right? Does that make sense? It means the astronaut goes up into outer space, okay? And then what happens?
They come back.
Right? So that's the whole point. It's still they're materialists. Mm-hmm. They still come back. That's the whole point. Is so they're not actually getting out of the material world. Right? They just kind of, you know, take a little vacation. You know, and then they're back. Does that make sense? Unfortunately, they're back quicker than they think. Right? Does that make sense? Because as soon as they start thinking, they're back.
That's when they're back.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So the thing is one has to not be bewildered by these. It doesn't mean that we don't give credit, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking a few verses back, that all these different kind of material situations that people in, these are all preliminary positions to spiritual life. So anything anybody's doing is preliminary to spiritual life, but you can't give them credit for spiritual life till they actually do it. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say we're taking that, you know, the modern world in academics, you have to graduate, okay? No? So you graduate at the tertiary level, right? So then that means nursery school, that is preliminary to the tertiary education. Primary is preliminary to tertiary. Secondary is primary to tertiary. Higher secondary is primary, is preliminary to tertiary. But in all those, even though all those are seemingly progressing one to that point, you get no credit on the tertiary level until you do it. So even though it's they're doing some yoga, they're doing checking this and that, you know, they're doing a little astrology, they're getting out their Ouija board, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Right? It's not spiritual till it becomes spiritual. Right? So it's all preliminary. So that's why then we will take it from whatever position they're in, because at any of those positions they could take up spiritual. But it's not called spiritual till they do. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one shouldn't become bewildered by them. Well, they're kind of like, they use some similar words like we do, you know, hey, and you know, they, you know, I like pretzels, you know, and they do all this nice asanas, you know, so it's not like that. We have to be very careful that we can see it in its realistic place. It's more progressive than, let's say, other people, but it's still mundane. Right? Rather than, oh, no, it's nice, or just like that, and we're yogis, they're yogis, we're all, you know, yogis together, and, you know, let's do the hora and stuff like that, you know. It's like, you know, but it's not going to happen, right? Most yogis don't know hora anyway, so it won't work out. Okay? Yes? No? Okay. And then, okay. However, how can the material logic hope to understand the nature and activities that are beyond the material world? Because material logic means, like this, carefully preserve and organize what you've seen. Examine the information to find the truth, right? So he's actually mentioned the two levels of how the mind works, though they don't necessarily understand that's what is going on. Right? They can't scientifically explain it. Right? Because they don't know the difference between the mind, intelligence, the body, the senses. They can't really tell. But here say, carefully preserve and organize what you have seen. Okay, so that means what you have brought in from the senses, put it into the memory, and then organize it, examine it. And then from that, try to get the truth. What's the truth? Enjoy the senses. Right? That's all for them is the truth. So if science can help you make more nice things to enjoy the senses, then that's good. You know, that's his idea. So that means that in going to the next step is that therefore by this process you can't understand the Supreme. You can't understand transcendence because the mind and material logic only works by those things that come in through the senses. Right? So that means what's beyond the senses is beyond material logic. That's the thing. It's just simple. It's not, no, we can understand. No, you can't. You know what I'm saying? You can't take your thermometer and then figure out how fast you're going in your car. You know, or how loud, you know, the kids' music is in the back seat. You know? You know, it's just like you're sitting there going, hey, I think you better turn down your iPod there. It's getting really loud. What do you mean it's getting loud? It's 72 degrees. Nice try, Mom. You know, it's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? It's just not going to happen. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that they're thinking, no, we can work this out. But you can't. They don't have the tools. You know, so to say and claim that you do, then that's folly. That's folly. If something indeed exists beyond the material world, then a specific process to understand it must certainly also exist. That's also, now he's making a very nice logical connection here. It means the material world, we have the material senses and mind to understand it. Therefore, something beyond that you can't understand with the material mind and senses. But if we can understand this world, that means there's this world and a system to understand it. Why, if there's something beyond, there isn't a system to understand it? Right? In other words, what's the use if it's there and nobody appreciates it? Right? If, unaware of that spiritual process of attaining knowledge and not wishing to understand whether such a process exists, an uneducated barbarian takes shelter of material logic alone, then that person will talk only nonsense. How can there be any doubt of that? It's also nice how they throw that in. It's like, what was that? It was a conversation with Prabhupada. You know, some Hindu is asking, what do you think of Ramakrishna? Or you don't think of him. You know, what do you, or how about Vivekananda? He's another rascal. meaning the first one was also, right? You know, so the same thing. So uneducated barbarian, right? So we just quoted from Kant. So here, I guess he's the next natural.
Mm, yeah. That's Prabhupada would just say, what? Never heard of him.
Yeah. That's the general thing, because the point is what do... Based on the sentimental feelings people have for the person, why get involved? Just what's his philosophy?
Yeah.
Because you can defeat the philosophy and leave the person untouched. Mm.
Yeah.
So it's much better. So we don't have to, attack a particular person. Right? So that's why the barbarian, uneducated barbarians in the next paragraph, because there's no need to directly bother the person in the previous one. Right? Okay. Only when it is directed towards understanding the workings of the material world does that material logic bring any good results. Right? It means the workings of the world means how it's working, the creation, maintenance, destruction, the living entity, the binding of the living entity, the freeing of the living entity, the relations between the living entity and God, all these kind of things, God and the world. This is now useful knowledge. That kind of logic is useful. You're maybe using the same processes, but because you're doing it properly, now it becomes useful. Right?
That's the reason you mentioned that the creation completed the...
Yes, because we see is that means, like all these things that we're discussing here, about the mind, but that's part of how the creation... Because the mind's created from goodness, right? So therefore, that element of knowledge makes the mind actually satisfied, right? If you don't know something, you feel bad, right? There's an anxiety. Let's say even it's a good anxiety. Let's say you've kind of gotten whiff that there's a surprise party or something happening, So you want to know about it, but nobody wants to tell you anything. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah, so the thing is that lack of knowledge is always a problem. Right? So the mind likes knowledge, it likes regulation, it likes all these things. But people don't do any of this and then wonder why their mind is crazy. Mm-hmm. They take shelter in the mode of ignorance, they lead an irregular life. It's not based on actual knowledge. Because the mind is not made out of, Europe. Or America. It's made out of the material energy which is coming from the Lord. Right? So that means the mode of goodness is still an energy, a transformation of the energy of his potency. So that means it's going to be properly situated in goodness, meaning according to that standard, not according to some other standard. Does that make sense? But still, those things bleed through. Is that you're living in a cement jungle, but everybody has nice little house plants, right? But if you actually lived out where the plants were, that would be kind of barbaric, right? You want them in pots, there's no mud, right? Like that. At least on your fingers, easy to wash. You don't want any on your shoes, right? So that won't work. Does that make sense? So the idea is that these inherent natures of the living entity come through anyway, but they don't know it, just like here Kant is saying. Carefully preserve and organize what you've seen. So that's the whole thing. The memory preserves it, and then with the intelligence, then you organize it. Right? And then the point, examine that information to find the truth. So that's what you're trying to get is the truth. Right? So the understand is that you can analyze and try to come to the truth. But they don't know actual what real analyzation is and what real truth is. But there's that inherent kind of idea. For engineering, medicine, warfare, music, and other like material activities, mixed logic is very suitable. Right? Do we catch what this list is? This particular
yeah.
list?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, that would also work. But there's another one specifically you're taking from the Shastra. The Upavedas, right? The Gandharva Veda is music. Warfare is Dhanurveda, Ayurveda, and then engineering is your Stapanaveda. Like how to build buildings, make cities, you know, the Vastu, the whole thing like that. First is material logic mixed with philosophical speculation, jnana misra yukti. In this, the theoretical stage, the scientist understands general principles. After that comes the second stage, where the theoretical knowledge is applied to solving practical problems. This is called karma misra yukti. Right? So it's useful there.
Yeah.
Right? For example, in building a railroad, first comes the theoretical stage, jnana misra yukti, and then the stage of application, karma misra yukti, where the railroad is actually built. Engineering and other like activities are the proper sphere of mixed knowledge. The world beyond matter is not the proper sphere of mixed knowledge. Right? So he's pointing out, it's useful. You want to do something here, build your house, you know, do all these different things, then the knowledge from here is useful. But the point is what's beyond that, the metaphysical, the spiritual, that it doesn't have access to. Right?
So a modern challenge for devotees is to actually connect that philosophy to the culture, because you fill in this mixed logic in the middle of our lives.
Yes. Yeah, and then whatever kind of culture goes with that, then they follow that. But the point is the Vedas already give that. Right? I mean, the Vedas go as far as depending upon what it's for, how wide the road should be. Right? It already is explaining that. You know? So that you know what to do. But now it's more than just hit and miss, they kind of like figure it out. But here it's already just saying. You know what I'm saying? If people are walking on it, it only needs to be 1 meter wide. Right? If people and cows are going on it, then it has to be more. You know, if it's what used for village to village, then it has to be more, because there's going to be carts and people and everything going on it. You know, if there's an army going to go on it, that's the biggest. Right? Does that make sense? You know, hence, you know, in America, the 8-lane highways. They're built for the army. People use them, but they were actually made so that the army can move on it. Right? Otherwise, why in the middle of, you know, how you say, what's that? New Mexico. There's no one out there. Cactuses are out there. But there's 8-lane highways. It doesn't matter where you are, there's an 8-lane highway. Why? Because it's big enough to move an army on, land a plane on, all that kind of stuff. You understand? So just by hit and miss, they figured out this big of a road. Because they only started, I think, after World War II.
The Germans started before. They started before World War II, they did the same.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's where they got it from.
Yeah.
Because there's this one road. It's still there. I've been on it. You know, it's a little run down, but in North Poland, that was built. It's made out of cement, so it's still there. Built by the Germans at that time. So when they saw that, then they came back, because it took them 53 days to get an army from the East Coast to the West Coast. 53 days. Now you can do it in 3 days. But it was 53 days. So when they went to Europe and saw that, then they, you know, bingo. You know, so they went back and then put them everywhere. There's millions of them, right? So the point is by nature people will go towards that, but it's still materialistic because it's not with the purpose of what you were saying, is how to connect it to the Supreme. So the point is God gives you the method how you can know Him, and while you're here in the process, you know, things can go peacefully. So the Shastra tell you how to live in the material world and how to get out of the material world. Right?
So the mechanics of logic are the same for spiritual and material logic.
Yes,
what you're
but
applying
it's,
it
on. Yes, yeah. But you could say is that in the catch once it's in the mind, but the point is you're not starting with the information from the senses. You're starting with information from the Shastra. Then analyzing that with the situations you're in, then you come up, and then you've adjusted the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? And so you're going to be applying those in the situations you're in. So what does come in through the senses has mm-hmm. been adjusted, because now the mind, the values of the mind have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So you're going to pull in different information. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you're going to, you know, just notice that you're driving down the road. You're not going to notice as you drive by the McDonald's change the breakfast time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's not the one you're going to catch.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's those are the kind of things you're going to
mm-hmm.
work with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it changes yeah. like that. But the technical mechanics are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the samskara of the mind, or the state of purity of the mind,
mm-hmm.
and the state of the ego,
mm-hmm.
those are your beginning and end of the whole calculation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's the problem with material, is that it starts with the previous impressions of the mind, whether it's pure or impure, and it ends with your false ego.
Mm-hmm.
So now if it begins with the purified mind and ends with the actual ego, the servant,
mm-hmm.
then your logic is going to be much better applied. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So even materially, you're going to do better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, you look at it, is let us just take, you know, in Western history, your, you know, nicest architecture and development, when is that? What is it connected to?
Religion.
Religion, right? You go to a city in Europe. What do you go visit?
The church.
Right, the church. Right? Because that's where the real... I mean, there's other things is there. There's some little art and this and that. But you'll see is when the religious element and the thought is greater, the art and everything else is greater. And when that drops, it also drops. Does that make sense? So it's always like that. You know, it's always your all these big things are connected with something else. Right? The pyramids, they're connected not with, you know, somebody enjoying themselves. You know, this is very dead people.
Yeah.
Right? But there's the idea that, you know, there's the afterlife. Right? So the pyramids are there because of the afterlife. Like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the whole thing, is that you see in these cultures, these old cultures and the philosophy and the religion and all that, the lifestyle is all mixed. So they always did something special and nice. Is that make sense? Yeah.
And it becomes so arid, the modern these civilizations are very attractive, because it's something that actually you don't find in the modern philosophy and culture.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's that's the thing. It has some, you know, uniqueness to it, something special. Yeah, so that's the whole idea, is how to connect everything to Krishna. But you're using the same mechanics, but you've actually plugged it in. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, you take the blender, right? You put it there on the counter, and you put something inside, but it's not plugged in, so it doesn't work. So you've worked out a clever system where you have this long kind of like little thin pole with a handle on it, and then you put it down into the bottom and you spin it around like this, you know, so the blades do something, you know. Does that make sense? You know, and okay, you do it, but then, you know, someone else comes, hey, give me that, you know, you're too slow, and then they do it a little faster, you know, so that's, you know, so, you know, does that make sense? You know, so that's what's going on. But all you have to do is plug it in, it works so much better. So the material world is being made by God, means that if you plug it into God, it'll work a lot better for you. Right? Nature's plugged in, it works really great, you know. So when you add the modern man, that it starts to go topsy-turvy, right? Does that make sense? You know, if right now you left New York alone, come back in, you know, a few thousand years, and it'll probably be nice again.
Yeah.
You know? Nature will take care of it. Okay. Engineering and other like activities are the proper sphere of mixed logic. The world beyond matter is not the proper sphere of mixed logic. Mixed logic cannot understand that world. Only spiritual logic can understand the world beyond matter. Right? So that's why others don't really understand, because these six systems of philosophy, you know, and their derivatives are not, they're using mixed logic. So they still can't understand, though they talk about spiritual. I mean, so many talk about spiritual, but they actually don't really quite get there. Right? That's the thing. They're only working from the inherent nature of the soul, that there's a larger force than me, and my happiness comes from connection with that. That's the inherent how the soul thinks. So only if it's, you know, there's not too much covering there, then that aspect might come out. But otherwise, they're not actually working on spiritual logic. Materialism, the worship of material nature, the philosophy of the cessation of existence, nirvana, and skepticism take shelter of material logic to understand the original cause of the material world. Did you catch that one? Said here. The philosophy of the cessation of existence, nirvana, that's your Buddhist. Okay. Take shelter of material logic to understand the original cause of the material world, a cause that is beyond matter. Right? They're thinking by studying the effect, I will know the cause. But the cause is always greater than the effect. You know, it's just like I can take, you know, last night's dinner, you know, and take it down to the lab and analyze it, and I'll be able to tell you everything about the person who cooked it. Right? Yeah. Not going to necessarily work. No. He's saying is that materialism, your materialism, you know, or your idealism, your pessimism, and your skepticism. All these take shelter of material logic, and they're trying to understand the cause, the original cause of the material world, but the problem is that the cause is beyond the material world. So they can't understand it. They won't be able to. Using material logic for this purpose will never bring a happy result. That is why these philosophers become the object of laughter. Whatever books these philosophers have written are only nonsense chattering. Right? Because someone says, you know, some people say it's great, but other people just say it's stupid.
Yeah.
Like that. 40. Ah. Just what you just know. Go ahead. Wow. But this is... I got a double 41. Just to make sure. Right? Okay. Riti. In the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur furthered... Oh, this was just in case I finished and you weren't ready with the next one, then I'd have to do the page again.
It's time from a different angle of vision.
Yes. Try reading it upside down. Yes. Signs and one and difference. Yeah, very good. In the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur further describes the process of acquiring knowledge by delineating the five vritti, functions of the mind. Knowledge is of five types. Indriya jnana, sense knowledge. Naiti jnana, moral knowledge. Sheshvara jnana, knowledge of God. Brahma jnana, knowledge of Brahman. And Shuddha jnana, pure knowledge. Those living entities with senses can obtain sense knowledge. Through the senses, the impressions also you see here is that this goes through the five levels of consciousness.
Yeah.
Like that.
Some living entities don't have senses.
Some living entities don't even have senses. Wow, okay. Those living entities with senses can obtain sense knowledge. So who doesn't have senses?
The rocks and mountains,
that's true. Yeah. Okay, that's right. Because all they can perceive is the life symptoms. Yeah. Those below moving living entities, they can only tell birth, growth, maintenance like this. Mm-hmm. They can't tell eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Mm-hmm. Okay, those living entities with senses can obtain sense knowledge. Through the senses, the impressions of the external world are carried to the brain via the nerves. Thus, the first function of the mind, the internal sense, gathers data from the external world. Then, the mind, by its second function, places the data in memory. By its third function, the mind, by combining and separating the data, produces impressions. By the fourth function, the mind classifies the impressions according to their qualities and thereby reduces the complexity. It then isolates particular items to increase the number again by further analysis. By the fifth function, by the fifth function of the mind, meaning is derived from the conglomerate impressions. This fifth function is called reasoning. By means of reasoning, the mind discerns what the person should do and should not do. Through the faculty of reasoning, all material and mental sciences have been developed. Right? So he's saying that this is what the mind is how it's going through all the stages. Yes?
Is here where we call the common sense to the right thing? The common sense?
Common sense, yeah. I mean, any reasoning will come from here. Common sense just means that what you've reasoned actually connects to the reality of what you're doing now and practically deals with it. You know, and we'll say it's theoretical when they don't deal on that platform. They feel they're too elevated to deal on a practical platform, right? That's why someone else has to, you know, clean their room and arrange their food and clothes because they can't actually do anything practical. Okay, gathers data from the external world, then places the data in the memory. In third function of the mind, by combining and separating the data, right, because the intelligence, that's what it does. It combines and separates. It shows what's common, what's different. Right? Okay. So then that starts. Then by the fourth function, the mind classifies the impressions according to their qualities and thereby reduces the complexity. Right? Because you'll take things and whatever is the quality that's important, you'll organize them according to that. So it gets less complex, because otherwise you could put them together in a million ways. So still it'll be according to what its value system is. And then it will classify according to what's important to that. Okay. It then isolates particular items to increase the number again by further analysis, right? So certain things are pulled out, and then again you start that process. You know, they put things together from there, and then when you pick out things you want, then again going. So depending upon how many times you do that is basically how deep it goes.
Right? Well, NLP, neuro-linguistic process, it's one...
Programming,
yeah. They say that we run according to beliefs. Would that be this gathering of impressions?
Yeah, it means that you pull in the knowledge and then whatever it is that you resort it down to singular points. Uh-huh. Right? So this is giving even like a finer element of what's going on. It means exactly how the mind is working with the intelligence to go through the reasoning power. Because even it comes all material, okay, by means of reasoning, the mind discerns what the person should do and not do. So it goes through reasoning, but still it's going to apply the false ego. So the false ego still gets applied, the intelligence, all these things get applied. It's just showing these finer elements of what the mind is doing. Yes.
I've heard in different places the mind being located in the heart and also the mind being located in the brain.
No, it's located in the heart, but it uses the brain.
Okay.
You know, so that makes sense. You know, it's just like the life airs are in the heart, but, you know, they move everything through the nerves and the muscles.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It means the life air expands like this. Your arms go out. You know, it goes like this. You stand up. It goes down. You go down. You know, so it's just the life airs, but they use those things. So the muscle for the mind is the brain. That's all. It's just the muscle that you use. Just like if you remove the muscle on the arm, then the arm can't function. So even though the life air moves, you won't perceive it. So the mind may function, but there's no brain there to work with. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not the brain. It means that's what's brought out in the story of Daksha. because he lost his head, they put a goat head on, and still he was functioning in the same way. Right? You know, he just has to use a goat brain to do his work, but still it's the same living entity, right? But no one thinks about it really in this whole thing, because that's the point, is what happens when he goes home? You know, I'm just saying is that, you know, no, he could talk regularly. Okay. No, I'm just saying, is his wife going to be cool with a goatee? You know, that's the whole point.
It must be easier to cook for him now.
Oh, I see, easier to cook for him. Yeah, yeah, okay. True.
So maybe just puts them all into the yard.
So, what's for dinner? Yeah. Yeah. No, it appears he functioned just the regular way. Just he had to use a goat head. So, you know, I mean, it's not that, but Ganesh uses an elephant head, so I mean, it seems to work. You know.
Maharaj, so how the consciousness works?
Consciousness is the soul. The soul is what's conscious. The mind and intelligence is dead matter.
Well, Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita Purport, Prabhupada said consciousness pervades all over the body.
Yeah, but it's coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul.
But it also works through mind and intelligence, right?
Means that you're functioning with the world, but that you're conscious of something. You know what I'm saying?
To get conscious the moving of the mind also, or moving of the intelligence.
You're conscious of all that. But you just identify with it. You know, conscious doesn't mean you're thinking. Conscious means you're conscious. Does that make sense?
So, and Prabhupada also said that conscious means I am.
Yeah, I am.
It sounds like it's ego platform.
But who's doing, who is existing? You know, would it make sense he is? But you're conscious, means you're conscious of the existence. So now it's the point of what you're conscious of. Am I conscious that I am this body? Or am I the spirit soul? You know, and then higher than that, I am servant of Krishna. Right? So that's the elevation of consciousness. Yes? No?
No.
Okay.
But like Buddhists, do they also practice how to concentrate on consciousness?
They practice, but the point is, since the consciousness is coming from the soul, how will dead matter actually be able to understand it? The mind is made out of dead matter.
But they also have some conception of soul. You know?
I think they're more kind of like the anti-soul. They're kind of more the A soul kind of category. Right? Because to them there's void, there is nothing. It's an illusion that there is a soul.
I mean, different branch, like
different branch.
Yeah, yeah. Like Zen, you know. Zen actually, you know, they practice how to concentrate on their consciousness.
Why do they need the wall? You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, the boys in England already figured out the wall didn't work.
They said tear down the wall.
Yeah, so I mean, so, you know, so then they should, you know, they should do the Zen in an open field or something. Does that make sense? This is the fun of you just take it and just twist it around. That's it. That's a mud with it. Like that. What's the point? See, the thing is you can find something, make a connection, that's nice, but then you have to be able to see how that will transform into actual connection with God. You know what I'm saying? We cook halava, okay? But in the Middle East, they also, just as part of the thing, cook halava. I know one devotee, when he joined, they said, yeah, you got to taste this halava. It's great, it's unique, it's fantastic, it's this and that. And then they brought him some, and he says, yeah, my grandmother cooks this. You know? You know what I'm saying? So it's so does that mean now, you know, that all those that live around the Mediterranean, and there is also the Vedic culture because they cook halava? You know, so what is it? You know, it's like, does that make sense? It means that your Eastern Turkey, half the cities there, the names are Sanskrit. So does that mean now they're all Vedic? Do you understand? So just because you can find something, but the point is, okay, now what? Because the context of this conversation is that the material process of logic will not be able to appreciate what's spiritual. So they're trying to apply material logic on something that's spiritual. So they may be aware that there's something beyond, but they have no access to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, the cow is sitting inside the barn, and the man is outside, you know, cutting grass and arranging food. So what does the cow do? It stands there, looks at the door. It can't perceive what's going on beyond the door, but it just knows something's there. So it just stares at the door. Sounds similar to Zen? You know what I'm saying? So they're trying to find some door. So somehow or another they don't use doors, they use a wall, but whatever it is. Does that make sense? But they can't see what's beyond. Because they don't say that you can understand it, so that you can feel it, you can absorb it. In other words, why do they say stuff like the door of no door? Why say that? Does that make sense? Is it logical? You understand?
Yeah, it means something, you know, beyond the imagination.
Yes, so that's the point. So that's where it ends. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to point out that there's a process beyond material logic for understanding what's beyond the senses. That's the thing. So unless you use spiritual logic, you won't understand it. To use material logic won't get you the answer. So that's why he says the materialists, you know, the voidists, you know, or any of those kind of the pessimistic who wants to annihilate existence, and the skeptics, you know, there's maybe it's this, maybe it's that, but whatever it is, you try to be materialistic, they'll say, well, how do you know it'll work? And if you say, well, we're going to go give up materialism and go beyond, well, how do you know it'll work? Does that make sense? You know, so that's what you know, these have always been there. So it's saying these three can't find out what's beyond material because they're not using the right tools. Does that make sense? So just because they can perceive that something's beyond, great. But the thing is why not therefore take up the process by which you can actually understand what's beyond? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, in this conversation, this is not a part of the book where he's talking about how it's nice and they're taking these steps and whatever position they're from. The point is, yes, so you're conscious, you want that. So now here's the real process. Right? So that's what we're dealing with now. So he's just gone through to show that the mind does these things, but it's, what we can see is the mind is only functioning within itself. The senses pull in information, then memories of those previous information from the senses is all that it's working with. It's not working with something spiritual. Right? Present sense observation with previous, and it's putting together and then analyzing that. It analyzes it, takes it apart, puts it together until it finds some patterns it likes. then keeps those patterns and discards the rest of it, right? It goes back into the memory. Then it'll take those and play with that again until such time as it comes to a point where it agrees with your false ego. And then you can say, yes. You know what I'm saying? What is it? You have, what is it? Quantum, you have string, and what's the other one? String theory, and then...
M theory.
Huh?
M theory.
M. Means there's something, they're totally opposed to each other, and they can't tolerate looking at each other's faces.
Yeah.
Particle.
And,
particle, okay. String and particle. Does that work?
Quantum.
It's all in quantum. They're all quantumists. So this is within quantum. So now, let's say you have a string theorist. Now, if he analyzes and actually came up with something, actually proved the what do you call, particle, would he accept it? No, he'd keep on reasoning until he's creating a pattern that he would accept. Or vice versa. If the particle theorist came up with something that proved string theory, he'd leave it, right? Isn't it? That's what our, what do you know, Mr., you know, Professor Cremo, whatever. Dhritakarma is going with is that means they have an idea that man is developing like this, right? You know, Lucy was there, and she went on a bit of a walk. Somehow or another ended up in Central Europe there. And then from there, you know, somehow or another, you know, different family members, I guess, got... There was a diaspora, you know, some turned left, some turned right, and whatever it is. I'm not sure if there was 12 of them, and they went off in different directions. Some came to India, some went to Europe, and it started this whole civilization like that, you know? Right? And so then there's a way that Lucy should look. Right? Does that make sense? And so then if you find something as old as Lucy that the skull looks not like Lucy, then they'll say, oh, it's because the earth cracked there in an earthquake and this other thing from a higher level dropped down into where Lucy's level was. You know, say, how did they know there was an earthquake and Lucy's stuff fell down into the hole there? You know? You know what I'm saying? You know, Lucy could have been, you know, the girl next door, you know, and no one to go out with her. So whatever it is, you know. You know what I'm saying? So why is it that, you know, all things only fall down into crevices from there, but it looks like what they think it should look like. So if they find one of those, okay, this is the way it is. But if they find modern man's skull in there, they'll say, oh, it can't be that. That's some faulty thing. So what is that? That's their false ego. It has nothing to do with the higher reasoning power. Because the point is on the material platform, it's your false ego is there. That's why in the Vedas, it's not about false ego. It's about the knowledge is correct. Now you apply it into the your situation. You don't have to figure out how the universe works. They already tell you how it works. You have to work out that the universe works like this, so how are you going to apply that to your situation? Does that make sense? That's important. You know what I'm saying? An atheist comes up with some logic that proves there's God, he'll immediately reject it. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why people have holes in their material logic. Does that make sense? You know, the theists, the same. They have their theory, and then it goes down the line, it comes out that there wouldn't be a God by this. So they generally, you know, then reject that part and move back a few steps. You know, but then the other party then takes that one and jumps on it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's mundane. Does that make sense? So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out is that you have to have something beyond this to actually function. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I mean the concept is beyond the mind.
Yes. But the point is you function through what mind and intelligence you're working with. Right? So if you work through material, you're going to end up that way. You work with spiritual, then you can perceive that side. Does that make sense? Right? And the spiritual can perceive what's here. It's just like you can understand what's going on in a mirror. Right? Because you're from a higher level of consciousness. Right? Because there's some ideas that some like to deify you know, Krishna or Prabhupada like that. That, you know, they're from the spiritual world, so they really don't know what's going on here. That's like saying the real man can't understand what's going on in a mirror. No, that's called an animal. You show a dog, you know, a mirror, and he thinks it's another dog. Right? There's only a few animals who can tell that's me. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is you can tell. So we're saying is, no, unless when you see your reflection in the mirror, you think like the dog and that's your enemy, then you really don't know the material world. You really don't know how mirrors work. Right? Does that make sense? So this is the thing. They can tell from there what's going on here, but it's not that from here you can tell what's going on there. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the whole. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
In order to understand from a spiritual perspective, to understand a material perspective, we need to have a purified mind.
To understand,
for example, here it is about. The mind can be pure or impure.
Yes, but it's not even just the purified mind can understand spiritual. It has to be in touch with spiritual.
Yes.
Because it's only by God's grace that one can understand spiritual. Right? So, but if the mind is more purified, let's say in the mode of goodness, then let's say they can understand how creation works, that the soul is different from the body, you know, these kind of elements, the element of eternity, you know, that it's not just the emotions, but it's actually the situations. You know, they can understand that much, so they kind of have a glimpse, but it's not actually solid, because they can't understand what's beyond spiritual. Like that. Does that make sense? Just the spiritual existence.
Yes.
They can't tell, you know, Chit and Ananda. Yes. They can only understand Sat.
Yes.
Right? But they can't understand Chit and Ananda. So because of that, they can't actually understand real people, real relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? Because people are looking for it here, so why wouldn't it be there? You know what I'm saying? Kids pick up everything and stick it in their mouth because there is such a thing as food. Right? You know, otherwise, why would they just do that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's the thing. Why is it nice?
Can we see that it's consciousness which help us to understand spirituality?
It means you have to be conscious. It's not the consciousness itself. It's a matter of consciousness that has to be of a certain caliber. If it's not Krishna conscious, how will it understand the spiritual world? Because when you say conscious, it means conscious of what? That you're conscious, that's just a generic aspect. That you're aware of existing. But you're aware of existing on what platform? Animals have consciousness. Right? They're aware. You know, even, you know, trees and non-moving living entities have consciousness. Does that make sense? They're aware of existence. But the point is depending upon the purification, then you're aware of more of the existence. Right? But even you're very aware, you still can't know God except by His grace. So material logic can't help you understand God. Does that make sense?
Consciousness is the function of the soul.
It's not the function. The function is chit. Sat is just existing. Chit means then you apply that experiences from existing into activities that please God. Right. Does that make sense? Even if you're saying it does, even if you're saying, let's say we have a hammer, okay? So the point is hammer can bang on things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do with this hammer? You know what I'm saying? The carpenter hits nails. Maxwell hits people in the head. You know what I'm saying? What do you do with it? You know, how you say, Barney's kid just hits things. What do you, so, it means you're talking that you have it, therefore it's perfect. But according to Niti, if you think just because something is existing and therefore you've gotten the result, that's foolishness. You have to take the thing and apply it, and the process of application, that will get your result. So the consciousness has to be applied. So you only get spiritual result if the consciousness is spiritual. Just because you figured out consciousness exists. You know, I figured out that cooking exists. Now what? Does that mean I have a meal?
No.
Yeah, so just because the Buddhists figure out that there is consciousness, and I am consciousness, but now what? Now what are you going to do with it? Nice that they figured that out. Most people haven't necessarily figured it out. So that's nice. But what are they going to do with it? You can't get spiritual unless you're connected to spiritual. Right? Let us say, I take nothing of value to invest. Can I get money?
No.
No, I have to put in money. I get out money. So unless you put in spiritual, how do you get out spiritual?
No.
So that means it has to come from somewhere else. Yes.
Is that devotional service?
Yes. Because only by devotional service can you actually know what's beyond. The others don't really know it's beyond. That you say it's all void and there's nothing there, that's not what's beyond. You know what I'm saying? That there's peace. Okay, so, but is that all there is? You know what I'm saying? The peace is not being involved in the material world. You know what I'm saying? Just like this. The man from the city goes out for a weekend in a country retreat. Very nice, right out there, you know, very natural setting. Of course, all modern amenities, but very natural setting, right? And at some point in their little yoga thing, they go sit outside, you know, and recommended they take some walks and do some deep breathing, you know, all that kind of jazz. Okay, now when he comes back to the city and people say, how was it? Right? What's one of the ways he might describe it?
Spiritual,
peaceful,
yeah, wonderful.
Wonderful. Okay. Now there's a person who lives out in that forest. He has a cabin there. He lives there. He's got land. He's got his cows. He's got all that out there. Does he call it peaceful? No.
Just normal.
Yeah, to him it's just normal. So the point is when you say void is peaceful, that's for people who are agitated. For people who live there, that's not peaceful. There's things to do. You know what I'm saying? So people who are just visiting, they call it peaceful. So that means you're Buddhist, you're Mahayana, they're just visiting. They don't stay. Right? How long does the Zenite sit there? 7 hours. No?
Yeah.
That's it. 7 hours. That's right. If he puts in his 7 hours, he's a good Buddhist. Okay? Now, what about the other... You know,
also work and
So that's the point. They're doing stuff here. They're not there.
But they say they can do that in a consciousness. Peaceful consciousness. Still keep it in the higher level. Like,
what's the point?
Point is, you know, they say that even though they might work, but
no. What's your point? What? By saying this, what do you want to establish?
I just want to establish that, that state consciousness, surely it's helpful for us to understand the spiritual.
It's helpful, but unless it's connected with spiritual, it won't produce spiritual. Because what are they producing? What is the Zen Buddhist doing? He's making a vase. He's fixing a motorcycle. Right? What is he doing with it? So is he actually absorbed in it? Because if he's absorbed in it and it's so wonderful, why is he here sweeping the yard? Why is he pruning a bush? Because he can't sit there in that consciousness all day. Because he's not there. You know what I'm saying? So it's nice talk, but they're not there. Otherwise, why would they be doing something else, you know? You know what I'm saying? You know, Shaolin, all they're doing is martial arts all day. You know, he does that Wudan. That's also all they're doing. So then... that makes sense? If they were so peaceful and absorbed, do you think the government would have come and, you know, burnt their place down? You understand? Because it's still mundane consciousness. Does that make sense? So they just come to a little more, you know, the mode of goodness is better than passion or ignorance. So they figured that out. But it's not that the mode of goodness is spiritual. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Good.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki jai Janitai Gaura Prema